laying at your feet. Cause girl, I was made for you.
Testing, testing, 1, 2.
Veggie meatballs. What the fuck is that?
Veggie meatballs.
No, but what are you holding up? Is it a carton? Do they come in like a carton of eggs or what? What is it?
It's the container.
Is that really the container? Looks like a carton of eggs.
It's part of the container.
They throw in each a ball and a carton of eggs.
Yeah, that's ball in each. Oh, yeah. How do you eat your meatballs?
They usually come in a bag. A carton? No, they're usually a bag of balls.
It's just a bag of balls. Keep your balls. Yeah, balls fit in bags well.
Yeah, bag of balls, or you make them yourself.
Sack. It's more of a sack than a bag, isn't it?
A sack of balls. What? Well, it's it could be a sack of balls.
Sack of veggie balls. Yeah, no, it's a box. There's some plastic in the box, but yeah, a box of balls.
Do you have to refrigerate it?
Yeah, they're frozen balls.
Oh, okay. I thought they would like last forever, balls. Like through an apocalypse or any something like that.
Nope, they're perishable.
Do you eat more balls than one ball at one time? Like, what's a meal?
Yeah, I like them. Well, like, how many it makes a meal for me?
Yeah, like, if you're
sitting
down. For
lunch, I had six balls for lunch.
Six balls. Nice.
Yeah, six.
Do you eat them? Do you eat them with anything, though? You eat them in a roll. Also, like a meatball sandwich.
Yeah, it's like a meatball with, like, yeah, with tomato sauce on it. Like a meatball. Meatball sub, as it were.
And then it tastes like meat, so you remember what meat used to taste like.
That's right. Like I shed a tear.
Yeah, you're like, man, I missed that.
Memory. Man, this is almost meat. No, I couldn't eat regular meat now, probably. It tasted disgusting.
I bet you you'd
nothing
be fine.
Would happen. Well, I'd probably.
Well, maybe it's your digestive system, because you can't eat. You wouldn't know what to do with it.
My digestion system wouldn't be fine, but
you would
my body would probably
shit
try
your
and
pants,
eliminate it
and
as
you're
quickly
like, what
as possible.
The fuck just happened? It went right through me.
You're like, ooh, I gotta go.
Gotta go.
I'll be right back.
You don't miss it. You're just angry at meat, and you love animals. That's why you do this, right?
Yeah.
Or is it an alternative?
I'm not angry at meat.
You're pro, like, animal man? Like, you don't like people eating your animals?
No, mine's mostly about the way they process animals and treat them before they kill them.
What about how they process plants? Have you talked to Barb when she used to work at the pesticide organic place?
I hate plants.
You eat plants?
They kill my mother.
What? The plants did?
Plants?
Yeah.
Plants are delicious. They deserve to die.
You sound muffled. Are you having internet problems? Or did you put the
probably
speaker in your mouth?
I was rubbing my eye.
Okay, that's probably it. You sound better now.
Can you slow it? Do I sound better?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was rubbing. It was probably my rubbing. I just had to rub
your
one up.
internet speed is affected by you rubbing. Don't rub yourself then.
No comment, no comment.
Yeah, don't rub yourself during the podcast.
During the podcast. Too late.
Ah. All right. Well,
welcome
were listening
to Geek Brunch.
Geek Brunch. And this is episode 2 something. 215. Which is a milestone episode. We have recorded 215 episodes of Geek Brunch.
Yes, we have. Well, I haven't.
No,
neither of us actually have.
I have.
But together we have. No, because you weren't on a couple.
Was I not on a couple? I don't remember.
Mike and I did several without you. And Micah did one all by himself.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I haven't been on all 215. I forgot I've missed, like, maybe a dozen.
Actually, yeah, technically, between the two of us, we even haven't been on 215 because Micah did that solo one.
Well, you guys only came on until the issue after the hundreds, right?
Yeah, it was right after 100.
Yeah. Maybe about 80.
Amazing. I think it was.
I'm going to call you back because the connection sounds really weird. So I'm going to drop this.
Okay, I'm going to go check on my kids.
Okay.
Okay.
Tell me when you're back.
I'm going to go beat my kids up. I mean, I got to. Okay.
I'll edit that out.
Hello.
All right, that's much better.
Am I clearer now?
Yeah. What'd you do to fix the problem?
I kicked my kids off the internet. It still says my connection is slow. What lie?
Oh, it sounds better. It doesn't sound muffled.
All right. So I was my bandwidth was being reduced to nothing.
What was happening? Were they mindscaping it or what was the...
They were... My son was uploading a video to YouTube. Sad state of affairs.
Yes. And you said, this is my podcasting time. I didn't
That's
know
right.
if we were podcasting. You didn't answer my email.
Yeah, I did. You didn't get my response?
No.
Son of a bitch.
You forgot to hit send.
Let me look at my drafts folder. I mean, it doesn't appear there. Let me look at my sense.
Maybe they were uploading a...
Yeah, they were uploading... Know,
while you were trying to send mail.
Hey, I don't see it in my outbox. What the... Where'd it go?
You never... Right,
apparently I didn't respond.
Maybe you did in your mind.
No, I remember.
You tried to use mind technology.
Where did it go?
It's not in your sent items.
It's not in my sent items, and it's not in my drafts.
It probably went to work or something. I hope you didn't say anything inappropriate.
You fucking bastard. How dare you? Where did it go? All right.
It's in the cloud.
I don't know what happened. I'm going to send you an email right now just to test it. If you want to join in, you can send a message to Mike at comicbooknoise.com.
And say that you can record.
And say you're available to record.
We are testing the internet live.
See if the internet is working. I'm getting over a cold, which won't go away.
Well, I am sick too. Except mine is, I think, going away.
I got this cough, this nagging cough. It sucks.
It's probably a little piece of meatball stuck in your throat.
A veggie meatball stuck in my throat. All right.
All right. Are you ready to start? 3, 2, 1, go.
Welcome to Geek Bunch, where we talk about the best in comics, movies, TV, and food entertainment.
That's right. We talk about it all.
On today's episode, DC Comics, Marvel Comics, Image Comics, and various other publishers, and ABC, and NBC, and some movies.
And some rated X movies.
Q music. X-rated movies.
Because I've watched Andy.
Oh, yeah, you watched Flesh for the Demon.
Flesh for Frankenstein and Blood for Dracula. They have four in there. Andy Warhol presents. I don't think Andy Warhol had anything to do with any of this.
He might have given them some money.
But the interesting thing about these two movies is they both feature Joe D'Alessandro, who's a New York accent young man, and Udo Kor, who I don't know where he's from, but he plays the Dracula in one and the Frankenstein in the other.
Ah. And I saw that you posted a picture to Facebook and everyone knew what it was.
Justin Jordan knew. And only comic book creators knew what these were. Because the other one that replied was Kevin Van Hook. Oh, Jim Dietz. Another podcaster knew about these. Who ironically did the Geek Brunch real meal.
The real live Geek Brunch.
He was the chef, yeah. So the three people knew just by the picture I posted that I was watching Flesh for Frankenstein. I think Flesh for Frankenstein is the better of the two.
Frankenstein.
They're both incredibly bad. You have to have an appreciation for films that know they're bad. Mm-hmm. But
a true B movie, huh?
Yeah, they don't take themselves too seriously. But the first one that I watched was Blood of Dracula, which is actually the one that came out second. But I watched them out of order. It doesn't matter. 1974. You can maybe find this on DVD. And it features a very sick vampire, Dracula, Count Dracula. He's very sick because he can't find any virgin blood except his little Renfield. I don't remember what his name is. He's also Igor in the Frankenstein movie. But he says there's no virgins. I don't know how to pronounce it like he pronounces it. He says
virgins.
There are no virgins in Transylvania. They're all whores. And the interesting thing about him is if he drinks blood from a non-virgin, and Bill was a specialist last episode, he told us.
I know, we talked all about
blood
this.
Types. We talked about it. He can't drink that, so he gets deathly ill. And he ends up going to another part in Italy because he's like, there's lots of virgins in Italy because they're Catholic and they can't have sex until they get married. Well, that was a mistake because they get
yeah,
in their little carriage and they move their way over to Italy and they find this rich family and supposedly there's three sisters and they're all virgins, but they don't know that D'Alessandro New Yorker guy is fucking them all except for the older one. And he gets deathly ill twice because he bites these girls. First, he gives them like quizzes. He's like, have you been with another man? Have you had sexual intercourse? And they all say no, but we know at the time that they have. And he bites them and he's like, he just sucks in their neck and he's like getting all into it and gets deathly ill. And he vomits all over the place. He's like, you're no virgin. He gets really.
So does he know right away? Like he could taste the difference?
It takes him about 2 minutes after.
Okay. So it tastes the same.
Yeah.
Good to know.
It tastes the same, but it hits his, I guess, so, it hits his stomach.
So it'd be like me if I ate like a meatball as opposed to a veggie meatball.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, this is a very good meatball sandwich.
And then you'd go throw up.
Yeah. What's going on? My stomach.
This meatball is no virgin.
This is not the virgin.
This is no virgin meatball.
Your meatball is not a virgin.
But anyway, he's not a scary vampire because he's like deathly ill the whole time he's there.
Yeah, he's very easy to defeat.
Yeah, he is very easy to defeat. The matter of fact, our hero chases him down a courtyard and cuts off his arm, cuts off the other arm, cuts off his leg, and he just lets him sit there. And the older sister, who is a virgin, I forgot to say that our hero had to pop one of the girl's cherries. Like, he's like, you're in danger of getting bit by Count Dracula. I need to pop your cherry.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. It's like, so if you're with a girl and being chased by Dracula, and she says she's a virgin, then there's only one option.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You got to save her life.
He saved her life, and I guess he punctured the hymen. And when that happens, blood drips. So Dracula did get a burst of speed because when he punctured the hymen, he was like fucking her up, like standing up, and the blood dripped downward.
Dripped down to the ground.
And Dracula immediately went to the floor and started to drink that. And he felt better. And then he goes and gets his legs cut off, his arms cut off, and then he gets a stake through his heart. But he dies with one of the sisters that fell in love with him that was a virgin, the older one. He never went after the older one because she was too old for him, I guess. Mm-hmm. But that's how that one ended. And then we get into Flesh for Frankenstein, which I still don't understand it 100% because Frankenstein is like married to a sister who's his wife. And they had two kids. The kids are really creepy, man. They are creepy. Like, the scene opens up with the kids, like, cutting off their dolls' heads and stuffing them with other stuff. So when I saw the opening sequence, I said, maybe this is the Frankenstein child as he was growing up. But it wasn't. It was his own kid. And this Frankenstein guy has this Igor guy. And they go get body parts from these young, attractive people. And he finds our hero, Mr. D'Alessandro, again, is trying to get one of his best friends out of the priesthood. So what does he do? He takes him to a whorehouse to try to get laid.
And there's a lot of religious undertones here.
There are a lot of them. He was going to become a priest. And he's like, no, you don't want to become a priest. Why do you want to become a priest? And he goes, I think I'd like the quiet time. And he says, do you know what they feed priests? And he goes, yeah, bread and water. And he said, I like bread. And it just went on and on. And he's like, he wanted to save his friend from becoming a priest. So he says, well, if I introduce him to pussy, maybe he'll change his mind. And he does that, but he takes him to this whorehouse. And the D'Alessandro guy gets drunk and ends up sleeping with all the whores. And his friend doesn't sleep with anybody. He still really wants to become a priest. But he has this perfect head. And this head needs to be on the Frankenstein monster. That's what he has this perfect head, and mm-hmm. he needs to put it on there, Dr. Frankenstein. So they actually, as they're leaving, his friend is drunk. And they attack him at night, him and Igor, and they cut off his friend's head. And the other guy just runs off into the night because he's drunk and he's freaking out because the next day he buries his friend. Well, the wife of Dr. Frankenstein, or sister, it's weird. I still don't know. I might have to go Google this and do more research because he talks about his sister and sometimes he talks about his wife. He doesn't seem to like her very much. But, she finds this D'Alessandro guy and she says, you need to come work for me. And part of his job is to fuck her. And the other part is to take care of those creepy children and then to serve them meals at each meal. And Frankenstein tells him, never come into this part of the castle because that's where he does his experiments. And he's got two, he does get the head on, and he built two Frankenstein monsters, a female and a male. And on the female, he gets really weird on this one scene where she's pretty much cut up, but she's on the table, and he gets on top of her, and he's just like feeling for her like gallbladder or insides, and it looks like he's getting ready to come. He's like, ah, this feels so good. You're going to have my children. I'm going to create a monster I can have sex with. And he's getting, and Igor's freaking out on him as he's on top of the table. He's like, Igor, stop looking at me. And he says, get me down from here after he finishes whatever he's doing. And he makes two monsters, one with this, and he brings them to dinner. And that's where that guy sees that his best friend is now this mindless creature. And he's like, what the fuck? I need to free my friend. He doesn't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah.
So he tries to get into the castle and free his friend, and that doesn't work out. And then it ends up with a scene with everybody getting killed, and the two kids walk into the room, and our hero, D'Alessandro guy, is hanging from a chain, and you don't know if they're going to release him or if they're going to kill him. And it looks like they're going to kill him because they get two scalpels, and it's a pretty fucked up movie.
Sounds interesting.
And there's one scene where they consider his failure on Frankenstein because the other female Frankenstein can't give him a Woody. Because he's like, kiss him there! Kiss him! And they're like looking at his dick to see if it rises, and it doesn't rise. And they're like, he's all upset because he's like, we have failed! I don't know what happened, but somebody has contaminated our experiment. But these were rated X. They're probably rated like R or... Yeah, and probably
nowadays.
R now, nowadays. But they were... interesting enough, ridiculous movies.
So why did you watch these again?
So I could talk to Justin Jordan. No, I'm just kidding.
Justin Jordan recommended them?
No, a friend recommended them to me.
Oh, a guy you work with, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he lent them to you, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to tell him that you enjoyed them?
Yeah, I'm going to say they're pretty fucked up. I'm going to say...
Maybe he knows maybe he can explain the ending to you.
Yeah, I'll ask him about whether it was his sister or if he had kids with his sister. Because he talks to her like sister sometimes, and then he mentions his wife, and it gets really confusing. But, yeah. Flesh for Frankenstein and blood for Dracula. Seek them out. And then you too can talk to Justin Jordan because he has a steel frame from that movie.
He is a aficionado.
A weird sex scene between the D'Alessandro guy and the wife of Frankenstein, where she just like licks his armpits, and it's weird. It's so weird. I've never seen that happen in a movie before.
That's probably what gave him the X rating.
There's lots of slurping, and there's like she's like right in the crook of the armpit. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
What was the story explanation for that? Just because she's a Frankenstein creature?
No, she was the wife of. She was not even. She's the sister of Frankenstein.
Oh, the sister.
The sister slash wife. She wasn't the monster.
Okay. She just likes armpits then.
Yeah. Go on, Harley. Go outside. I think it's above 9 degrees now.
We have snow here today.
Yeah, so do we.
We got our first snow. Stupid Arctic weather.
What is the temperature?
It's not that bad. Just
27 degrees Fahrenheit outside.
See, Siri, tell me. Did you hear her?
Yeah, 27 degrees.
Yeah.
That's probably about what ours is.
It was 9 when I started recording the first podcast. What is my name?
You're Michael, but you asked me to call you asshole.
Didn't she call you something different before?
Calls me asshole. She said, you're Michael, but I call you asshole.
Yeah, but you asked me to call you asshole.
Yeah. All right. So you have any movies that you've watched?
I do. I have 2 movies that I watched. The first was one that I teased last episode, and I actually watched. Hang on, I'm checking what the temperature is. 30 degrees.
You're warmer.
Yep, now everyone knows. So the first one is something I teased last week, which is Snowpiercer.
Oh, that one's on...
the movie.
Netflix now.
On Netflix now? Everyone should watch it. It's fantastic. So this is... It's actually interesting. It's based on a French... Was it French? I think it was a French comic that was brought out in the... I don't know, maybe the 80s? 70s, 80s? It's pretty old. And it was old, and it wasn't very... it was kind of forgotten to time. Like, it was something that came out and people didn't talk about it anymore. But then this, now I'm going to screw up where he's from. I think he's Korean. The director, Bong Joon-ho, I believe he's Korean. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But he actually read a bootleg Korean version of Snowpiercer and liked it and wanted to do... the movie, wanted to make it into a movie, so he contacted the guys who originally did the book, and then they got it rolling. So it's right in my wheelhouse, where it's a kind of like post-apocalyptic type story, where due to, now I'm trying to remember what the cause was. I don't remember the exact cause in the movie, but it takes place in the near future, where the planet has frozen over. So everything's frozen. I think they're doing some kind of an experiment and it went wrong and ended up freezing the entire planet. Yeah, that's what it was. Oh, I know. They were trying to reverse global warming. So they wanted to bring the temperature of the world down because it was getting way too high. And then they ended up bringing it too low. So it froze the whole planet. And the only people left alive were people who were on this train. Which it's this train that goes like around the world. It was like this guy's vision, like to have this train that would just could go. It goes around the world, I believe, and it never stops. So it just keeps going. So all these people are trapped on this train, and I can't remember at the point the movie starts how long ago the end of the world was, or how long they've been on it. We'll say like 10 years or so. So it's been a while since that they've been on this train, and they have this whole, not ecology, but, like a social structure on this train where the front of all the rich people are at the front of the train, 'cause that was first class. And then all the lower class people are in the back of the train where it's all shitty. The front of the train, they have like restaurants and food and stuff. At the back of the train, they live in like whatever bunk bed type things, and everything's a mess. And they ate these like protein bars, these gelatinous protein bars. So this in the movie, it starts out where these two guys are planning an escape. So they want to break. They want to go up to the front of the train because they're tired of living at the back of the train, not having anything, while the people at the front of the train have everything. So they want to create a revolt against the front of the train and make it even, basically. So everyone has a share of the wealth because they think it's unfair that just because they started out poorer than the rich people, why they have to stay in that position for the rest of their lives on this train. So the whole movie is this, the one dude, the main dude, who is Captain America, trying to get to the front of the train.
Captain America's in it?
Yeah, he's the star, Captain America.
Marvel? Is it produced by Marvel?
What's the dude's name? Chris Evans? Is that Captain
Yeah,
Marvel?
Chris
Yeah.
Evans.
Yeah, he's
Captain
Captain.
America,
He's
not
Captain.
Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah, not Captain Marvel. Captain America. Same, I think he started as Captain Marvel, but then he got sued. Anyway. Yeah, so it's awesome. I loved it. It was fantastic.
I want to see that. Everybody keeps... I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about it.
Yeah, it's good. And then on the DVD, at least, there was like a special feature, which is like the kind of the making of it, where it talked about... It shows the writer, and I think one of the artists, because I think the original artist might have died, because there was like three volumes, and I think they had like a different artist in the last one or last two. Anyway, and the director, and he's talking about like how the movie came to be. And it's like a long documentary, too. It's like 90 minutes. But it was interesting to see. Yeah, it's good, though. They did a real good job on it. It looked real good, too. Thumbs up on Snowpiercer.
Wow, this Udo Kier guy? He's been in a lot of shit.
What has he been in?
He's been in Snowpiercer.
No, I'm kidding. He was Captain America.
No, but he's been like in the movies that I've heard about before. He's been acting for a while. Damn. So when he was in those Andy Warhol movies in the 70s, because he's been in like Halloween in 2007. A lot of these movies you probably have watched. Soup Kitchen, House of Boys. That's sounds like something you'd watch.
Yeah, I've seen House of Boys, but probably not the same one.
Keyhole.
Yeah, I said Keyhole, but probably not the same one.
Keyhole 2011. Didn't you watch a Keyhole movie? Some of these sound familiar, but they're mostly because of you, because these are pretentious movies.
Keyhole. I don't think I've ever seen Keyhole.
I've seen this actor before. I just can't make
him. I've never seen Keyhole.
If he was in Fear.com.
I don't think I ever saw
Shadow of the Vampire. I've seen that. That was with that was about that Nosferatu being real. I have that Snowpiercer on my queue. I just gotta find the time to. I'm too busy watching this shitty ass movie.
Yeah, it's pretty long too. It's like a couple hours.
I could have watched that instead of Flesh for Frankenstein.
Flesh for Frankenstein.
Anything else?
I did. I watched the movie called Chef.
Oh, that's good. I like that movie.
With what's that dude's name?
Iron Man's.
Iron Man.
Just to keep the same tone.
Iron Man was in it. Wait, was he?
No, not Iron Man was in it, but it was also his the guy who drives him around. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I saw the movie.
I saw the movie.
Jon Favreau, that's his name.
Yeah.
Who directed it.
Robert Downey Jr. is in it. He has a small part.
Yeah, so Iron Man is in it. Yes, because my new policy is to only watch movies with superheroes
in them.
Yeah, superheroes in them. Otherwise, I just can't do it. Yeah, so it's about... Man, I need to find what Jon Favreau's name was in the Iron Man.
It's Happy Hogan.
Okay, so Happy is he's a chef in a restaurant, and he's, do I even need to explain it? Like, do people already know what this movie is? So he's a chef in a restaurant, and he hates his job, and he gets a bad review, so he decides to go off on his own and start a food truck.
Well, he gets a bad review at no fault of his own.
Right.
The owner fucked him up.
Yeah, because the owner didn't want him to...
He had prepared this extravagant menu and then invited this critic over, and he was going to try to win him over. But the owner of the restaurant was played by Dustin Hoffman, I believe.
Yeah,
Tootsie. We don't use real names. We don't use actor names. Played by Tootsie.
But not in drag.
By The Graduate.
Yeah, the graduate.
It was played by him. He did not want him to. He wanted him to cook him the same meal that they offer
Right.
on the
Well,
menu.
because right, everything. Well, you figure everything he went through during the graduate. Now at this point in his life, he just wants to own a restaurant and make money,
That's right.
not screw around, because he learned his lesson.
But
He
he
learned
never
his
let
lesson.
this chef, who's kind of a great chef, explore or to be creative at all. It was
Right.
that's why he went to go make a food truck. And it,
Which is
I think it
understandable.
was based on a somewhat of a loosely based on a true story. He started to make a food truck based on Cuban sandwiches, and it became like popular basically because of Twitter, because his little rant with this food critic went back and forth on the Twitters, and he became popular, like an internet sensation, which helped him make this food truck and helped him
Yeah, he
become
got a bunch of
popular.
followers. And then his son just kept tweeting it.
And then it's like a father-son story where he's teaching his son
Yeah,
to
it
do
kind of
stuff.
it at some point it morphs into a father-son road movie
Yeah.
with John Leguizamo.
Who's the friend? Yeah.
I can't, what has he been in that I can reference?
Spawn.
Yes. Who is he in? Oh, he's the Violator,
He's
right?
the Violator,
Yeah, so
yeah. See, it goes back to comic movies. Oh, he was in Land of the Dead too. I don't
I
know if
know
you
that was the
saw
first thing
that
that came to my mind.
one. I
I didn't like him in Land of the Dead, though.
like that movie. I don't I fans of those zombie movies hate that one movie for some
That was
reason.
my least favorite of all of them. I like Diary of the Dead more.
Survival of the Dead, which is the Hatfields versus the McCoys.
Yeah, I like that one too. I wonder if I have that one on DVD. I don't know if I have that one.
I have that one on DVD. I don't think I have Diary of the Dead.
That diary. So, Chef, yes, there's lots of cooking, and the food looks awesome, and it makes you very hungry when you watch it. Oh,
Especially when he makes a grilled cheese sandwich.
was fantastic.
Oh,
And you made love to that sandwich.
so good.
See how much cheese you put in that, mother? Oh.
Yeah, a lot of cheese, man. There's a lot of
It was
cheese.
dripping out, getting crispy on the grill. Oh.
Oh,
And all the butter you put on there.
delicious.
He like cooked it and then put at the end put more butter on it.
We could actually share that sandwich because there was no
We
meat in
could.
it.
That's true. There's no meat in it.
So that was probably the only thing that we'd ever share.
We have that in common. Grilled cheese. Yeah, I don't think I could eat anything else in the movie.
I don't think I watched any other movies.
Well, I could eat that pasta he made for Black Widow.
Oh yeah, she was in the movie too.
All
Say damn.
superheroes. All the superheroes are in the movie. That's
She was damn sexy in
right.
that.
I think every character in that movie has been in a a superhero movie. Oh, except for Dustin. Was Dustin Hoffman in a superhero movie?
Man, that would be reaching. I can't think of anything.
Probably not yet, but now that he's made connections with Jon Favreau,
Yeah, maybe.
he'll probably be in the next Iron Man movie or Avengers.
Gonna look. I know he was in Tootsie and
And the graduate.
Ishtar. Wasn't he in
Yes, he was in Ishtar.
Ishtar? That movie is probably the worst movie I ever saw.
I've still
I
never
saw
seen
that.
that
I saw
movie.
that in high school, and I almost cried.
It is notable for being one of the worst movies ever.
Dustin Hoffman, Kramer versus Kramer.
Sure.
Let's see, any of the superhero movies. He was in Kung Fu Panda. I don't know.
That counts.
I don't see any superhero movies other than that.
He's got to get on that if he wants a career in this
See,
industry.
yeah. Was an outbreak.
Yes, he was on Outbreak.
He was on The Simpsons. That's kind of like Ishtar. No. I can't see a comic book connection there. The Defenders TV show he was on. I don't think it was the comic book Defenders, though.
I don't think it's the same one.
Well, let's pretend it is. All right. Any other movies?
Movies? No. I think that was the only two movies I watched.
All right. TV. There's got to be a new Canadian sperm show coming out.
I haven't watched any sperm shows. I did get my sperm DVD, though.
You did?
So I need to watch it.
Is that something you could watch with Melanie, or would she not like that?
I don't know. She might like that one.
You guys have a hard time connecting at the entertainment level, don't you?
Except no, not a hard time, because I like a lot of different things, so.
Oh, but she doesn't like a lot of the weird.
Yeah, she's more limited. She likes more mainstream stuff. Where I'll go anywhere.
If there's a penis in the movie, I'm there. Oh. There is one in Flesh for Frankenstein. I'll have you know.
Is that when they're waiting for it to get up?
Yeah, male genitalia. So I googled it while we were talking, and it is the mother of his kids and sister. So he did fuck his sister. Okay. And his whole goal was to make that female Frankenstein and the male Frankenstein to create a superhuman race. The perfect people. And conquer the world. And Igor wasn't Igor. His name was Otto. I like that guy. If you see the snapshot of the picture I posted on Facebook and you look at his eyes, that is very key to watching that movie, because he has his eyes like always open like that. It's great. Very nice.
So he didn't realize that the genetic code is like in the egg and in the semen. So you could replace the head and arms and stuff. It's not going to change the genetic code. So their babies are still going to be the same.
No, but he did get like perfect insides. Like he was putting in the insides into that woman when he was like gonna come. Like he was messing with her fallopian tubes and stuff to put.
Yeah, but the genetic code is just in the eggs, though. So still the same egg, unless he manipulated the egg DNA.
Yeah, he's a fucked up. It was flawed from the beginning.
His logic was a little flawed.
His logic was fucked up.
See, if I was going to do it,
you would look after perfect eggs?
Yeah, I'd find the perfect egg. The perfect sperm.
And then grow it in a test tube.
Yes. I would do the Frankenstein surgery on the sperm itself. That's a good idea for a movie. Frankensperm.
Frankensperm.
Dr. Frankensperm. Now that would be an X-rated movie.
You need to follow this path, because you're in your scripts. You need to get on that.
Let me make a note.
Frankensperm.
Frankensperm. I told you I did the first draft of the zombie fungus, didn't I?
No.
High school sperm. There we go. Yeah. I finished the first draft of it. I need to do a rewrite on it.
You need to pass it on to me so I could help. Because I did script a lot of that on the Geek Brunch.
Yes, you did. I even went back and listened to...
I want some credit, a little bit too. Of credit.
And Micah did too. Micah was part of it too. So, yes, you'll both get created by credit.
Financial reimbursement?
You'll get at least $1 each.
I want my dollar in advance. You can send it to my address. So TV wise, I just watched The Usual. I watched Gotham. I'm almost caught up on Constantine. That's a pretty good show.
I still haven't watched that. I have it on the DVR, but I haven't watched it yet.
That's pretty good. It deals a lot with the supernatural, and he's like a magician and goes and visits place, and he met up with a woman that can like see things, and they team up and have adventures. So, and they have like DC things in there, like the Fate helmet and stuff like that.
Oh, so they are tying it to.
Yeah, to DC stuff. And it looks like in the comic books right now, at least in the Justice League Dark, he was traveling with the Justice League Dark in the House of Secrets. And it looks like he has something like that. You know what I mean? He's got like this House of Mystery, and all the rooms look really weird, like they do in the comic book. So, yeah, it's pretty good. Gotham continues to be my favorite of the bunch.
Yeah, I like the feel of Gotham.
I like the feel, and I like the actors the most, and I like the plots. I find it the most interesting.
Yeah, I think it's my favorite.
Flash is cool. I like Flash a lot and Green Arrow, but they're different. That's for sure.
Yeah, you can definitely tell the difference between what channel is Gotham on? Is that
CW
Fox?
CW and Fox, yeah.
Yeah, you can definitely feel like Flash and Green Arrow feel to me like CW shows, just in the production quality level. Where Gotham feel like those feel like a more of a, like a TV show, where Gotham, it feels like we're actually seeing Gotham. Like it feels like a fully formed city to me.
Yeah.
And world. Which I'm sure is intentional.
Did you get to the Spirit of the Goat episode yet?
Which one was that?
That was the one where there was a serial killer that would go after the firstborns of the richest families or whatever.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And it turned out to be, the villain turned out to be this woman that was hypnotizing people, like her patients. That's pretty fucked up.
The only character I don't like on that show is the Jada Pinkett Smith character.
Oh, I like her a lot.
Shmoony. I just don't like the way she acts, her acting in it. Because she seems like the only one who's, I don't know, she's like overdoes it, kind of. Like she's playing a cartoon character almost, rather than a real character.
And I like that.
She's like very over the top.
Yeah, but so were those other two actors that were played early on, like the career opportunities guy and the girl that we talked about, remember? They were the two henchmen that would go capture kids. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but they were like insane.
Yeah, I know. But that's what
Was Fish Mooney insane?
She's Fish. She's crazy ass power hungry.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, she seems too over the top. I can't take her seriously. She's like in she's like in a gangster movie from the 1950s.
I like it. I think you're wrong because you don't know TV like I know TV.
I haven't studied TV
only studied film.
It's true.
You haven't studied TV, so you're wrong in this case.
So you see, TV works at a different level.
Yeah, and you have to be at my level to see how good these things are. Like Arrow.
Yeah, I still don't see I don't understand the love for Arrow. It's all right, but the only character I like is the girl.
Felicity?
Felicity, yeah.
Yeah,
I like the Felicity. The Felicity episode was awesome.
Yeah.
Where she was a goth chick.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
Oh, so you did see, like, you're close to being caught up.
I watched that show. I don't like it that much. It's just too silly sometimes.
Well, they have things that bother me, but I enjoy it. Like, I have a good time watching it. Like, the one thing that bothers me is, like, Diggle will always go on these adventures just as Diggle.
Yeah,
but he's with Arrow, and he's with Red Arrow.
Why are you always
so Arrow? Like, you'd be like, why the fuck are you always with Oliver? And you like give it away immediately. Do you know what I mean?
I know, like, it's like, you're always with Oliver. You work for Oliver, and you're always with Arrow.
Yeah, Diggle's not wearing a mask or anything, right? I mean, like, that's just like, it's like throwing out your identity. And then the other part that somewhat bothers me is he does. Are you caught up on the Wildcat one, the last episode?
No, I don't think I've seen the last one yet.
Are you going to?
You can spoil it.
Okay. Well, he gives this big old speech about killing to Wildcat because Wildcat had killed – he was a vigilante that retired being a vigilante. He gives this big speech about killing and that he shouldn't be teaching people to – like his girlfriend to box and stuff, but – He himself was a killer. That's how the show opened. So he should be able to relate to this shit. That's what bothers me. But I enjoy it.
And it seems like at least the last several episodes have moved more away from the personal relationship stuff.
Well, I liked how they opened
the drama of the family and stuff.
I actually liked, though... And then they took it away immediately, like it didn't last. I liked that Oliver was taking Felicity on the date and that he was like going to say, hey, I really do love you. And then he pulled back when he found out that her life might be in danger.
Yeah.
But
I like that.
It seemed like he loves her and I like Felicity and I think it would be cool to have that relationship, but they stay away from that like the plague.
Yeah. Well, like they do on a lot of shows, you got to have that tension, like that's going to always be there between the two characters. Because a lot of times when they do eventually bring them together, then that kind of ruins it. So it's good to have a love that cannot be.
Yeah.
It could never be. So you're always like wondering and hoping they'll get together, but they never will until the final episode.
So we're into comic books then.
Yeah, let me think I don't think I have any other TV shows.
I've been watching Comic Book Men still.
Is that show still on the air?
Yeah. They went to the last episode, they went to a Bromy convention.
A Brony convention.
A Brony, yeah.
Oh, I'd like to see that episode.
I'm sure you would.
You didn't see anyone who looked like me in it, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I saw you there, and your kids were saying, come on, Dad, let's get out of here. You're embarrassing us.
We don't want to see this stuff. Come on, you guys love this stuff.
You were dressed like a pony.
Do they have dudes dressed up as ponies on it there?
Yeah, and you were like, friendship is magic. It was weird. It was weird because I anticipated to see... Yeah, a few dudes there that were bromies, and then a lot of like kids. And then like in the main room, there were mostly dudes. Like they were mostly it was bizarre. I don't understand.
I don't get it either. Oh, I need to take a cough drop. I'll take
that's
a cough drop.
That's what I did.
Live on the air.
Cause I get that itch in my throat. And then I'll just start a cough attack. And the only thing that'll stop me from getting that itch is a cough drop.
What's your cough drop of choice?
Well, I like the ones that aren't true cough drops. I like the vitamin C drops. Because they don't have that menthol, like...
Well, menthol is the best part. Cooling.
I don't like that. Mm. It tastes bad.
Do you like mint stuff in general?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I just don't like menthol?
I like junior mints.
Oh, junior mints are delicious. They're delicious, Jerry.
Yeah, they're delicious. Have one.
Refreshing. Yeah, TV. I can't think of anything else. Just the usual. I still like that Black-ish show.
Did you finally see the Modern Family Halloween episode?
Halloween one? Yeah, I saw that one.
I like that neighbor, Steve Zahn.
Yeah, Steve Zahn.
I like him.
And the wife was from some show. I don't remember which it was. Yeah, Steve Zahn's good. He was, I don't know. He's probably been in a superhero movie.
I'm pretty sure we could find something that he's been in. I always remember him from that Neil Diamond movie, Saving Silverman or whatever that is.
Oh, yeah. When they captured Neil Diamond.
Yeah, I like that movie so much. I can watch it over and over again.
And he was in that Christian Slater TV show, the last one he did that didn't let.
I didn't watch that show.
Well, it's because his shows last like about 4 or 5 episodes and then get canceled. It was okay. It wasn't I liked it actually. It was pretty good.
So if you hear us sucking on cough drops, you know why. We're both coming off of colds.
Let me try and move this mic away from my mouth.
Then I won't be able to hear you.
I'll do a Keith. Can you hear me now?
No.
You can't?
I can hear you. You sound like you're in a Keith Knudsen.
Keith Knudsen land. I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything.
I'm not okay, doing anything.
What are you doing? What? What? Nothing. Okay, I'm looking through my comics to see what I want to talk about. What do you got?
I started reading Charles Soule's Swamp Thing. My dog is going to start going crazy over here now. So if you hear, like, when she rolls on her belly, she starts growling.
She loves Swamp Thing.
She loves Swamp Thing. And I was pretty far behind, but I got into this story arc called The Cedar, which is really, really interesting. It's about this other character that drops seeds and grows plants and stuff. And you learn that that's the cedar really is... Jason, the guy who created Poison Ivy, I can't think of his name now. Woodrow. Jason Woodrow is the cedar. So the cedar goes to this town. What I like about this is it reminded me of The Crossed a little bit. The cedar goes to this old whiskey town. And this town has been bankrupt. Like there's like 300 people there. It used to have a winery and a place there that kept that place popular. And when it went under, all the people just left that could leave. And those that stayed, it just, the town just went to shit. Like couldn't support any kind of living or anything. Mm-hmm. So the cedar asked this one guy, the wish, he's like, "What's your wish?" I said, "I wish the refinery's back." So he throws some seeds down. This tree grows and it makes these whiskey bulbs. So there's these whiskey bulbs, and the town starts drinking them, and they fucking start going nuts. Just like The Crossed, except not as extreme, like what you could do in a DC comic.
Right.
But they start beating each other. They start having sex everywhere. It's in danger if you drink this. But John Constantine comes, and you think he's a good guy going to team up with Swamp Thing, but he ended up drinking the whiskey.
Uh-oh.
And he became like the prince of that town to cause more chaos and capture Swamp Thing. And it looks like things are really bad for Swamp Thing, but then he gets out of it. And that's the part that you can never understand. Like he's like all this all-powerful, godlike being of the green, and then sometimes he looks vulnerable to the easiest shit. And in future episodes, when he goes to talk to the Lady of the Weeds, you kind of learn, and it gets explained. She's like, she tells him, like, you're a terrible avatar for the green because you won't do what's necessary, and you don't even know how powerful you are. Like, you're everywhere, but yet you manifest yourself in this form all the time and walk around. You don't need to fucking walk around. You're the green. You could transport yourself all over the place. Why do you take this form? And then she says, I think you have a death wish because there's a couple times I've watched you and you've almost died all those times. And why do you do that? So like it, Charles Soule does a good job of like every time you try to question the story or find like a hole in his logic,
he'll later on
like in an annual or something, he'll explain it like why he's going down a certain path. So I really enjoyed this arc and I'm not done with it yet. I'm like, I read 4 issues of the Cedar and he does manage to get Constantine out of the situation that he's in and free the town because he does realize that he is powerful. And now the Parliament of Trees is saying, oh, we're questioning your ability to be an avatar. Maybe we'll give it to this Cedar fellow. And they're going to have a showdown, and they're kind of in the mode right now in the annual where they're both training to basically have a fight, the Cedar versus Swamp Thing for whoever's going to be the avatar of the Green. And I really like it. The art's been really good. The storyline. Charles Soule, I think, is in general just really good storyteller.
Yeah, he like, is.
Even whatever mode that he's in, he does a really good job with it. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with Swamp Thing.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out when it comes in trade. Yeah, he's one of the... There's a handful of writers right now. I think they're among the top writers, and he's among them. Or at least in terms of the ones that I'm enjoying the stuff they're doing. So, you want me to do one?
Yeah.
Here, I'll start with this one. I read the latest hardcover of Black Sad
called
Amarillo. So this is the third, I believe, collection that Dark Horse has brought out. Yeah, so there was the first one, which is this Black Sad, and then there was Silent Hell. And then this is the third one.
Is Dark Horse the regular publisher of the new material, or are they just republishing old material?
They're republishing old material, but it's not really that old, because this came out, I think, originally in 2013. Yeah, 2013. So basically, as soon as it gets done over there, then they bring it. They're just the ones who do the American translation of it. So it comes out soon after it's released in... wherever they're first releasing them. Where are they first releasing them?
It hasn't been translated before France. Dark Horse gets it?
Not in English. It may be in other languages. I don't know.
But we learned in last episode you know Latin really well, so if they ever published it in Latin...
I did. How they published it in Latin? That is a good question. That would be... Yeah, if it were, well, let's just say if they weren't bringing out the English version, then I would just get the Latin version. Because, you know, there are tons of Latin books being published nowadays. Especially comics. Yeah. The Latin comic market is huge.
Well, you probably impressed a lot of people. I had Barb listen to it, and she was amazed at your interpretation of that comic book.
My pronunciation?
Yeah, she just said you were a professional.
Yeah, well,
broke it down, and
it might throw some people off because I used the more classic dialect.
Yeah.
Latin, so
well, she was buying it all the way up until you said Lego.
Lego.
Then you threw her off a little bit, like you didn't know what you were doing.
That was an inside joke, though, for my kids.
Tell her that. You let your kids listen to this?
Our show is very popular among 5 to 10-year-olds.
Hey, kids, stop playing with the internet. Listen to Geek Brunch.
I'm recording Geek Brunch. I'm going to say Lego again in this episode. Just wait for it. First one to send me the timestamp of where I say Lego gets a prize.
Is that another good parenting tip?
Yeah.
You keep them preoccupied.
Keeping kids occupied for...
Looking for timestamps with
under father's podcasts.
You give out secret words.
There's a secret message in every episode.
And that one had Lego.
Yes, Lego was one of the keywords. And penis was the other one.
Hey, I'm sorry I forgot to edit out the that you were wearing the thong or whatever.
I know, the thong. I can't believe you left that in. my Halloween my special Halloween thong.
I was supposed to edit it out. I apologize.
Not everyone knows about my special Halloween thong that I wear under my costume. It just makes me feel special when I'm going door to door.
With something riding up your ass, it's
trick or treat.
So back to Black Sad.
Back to Black Sad. So one interesting thing. So it starts out with a introduction is written by Neil Adams, who it turns out he talks about how he discovered Black Sad and read it and liked it, but he didn't like the translation that was done before, so he contacted Dark Horse and said, "Well, he took like the first six pages of one of the previous hardcovers and rewrote it and sent it to Dark Horse and said, I'd like to do the not to do the translation, but he said, send me the translation and I'll edit it and make it sound better." So that's what he did with this book. So they brought him on. So someone else translated it to English, and then he did like a rewrite of it to make it flow better. Which is actually a kind of smart idea, because sometimes
have somebody do the semantics, like get it out there, and then fix it for what it really is meant to be.
Yeah, then have a writer go in and figure
because
out
the writer knows exactly what he was trying to say, and if the interpretation conversion isn't quite right, he can change the words.
It. Yeah, so that's what he did in this for this one. So and it does read well. Yeah, because you can like. You can look and see what they were trying to say. Like it might have been some kind of phrase that worked in the other language but doesn't work in English. But you know what the translation, you know what phrasing would work in English. So, or if it's like a, I don't know, like a, what's the word for it? Like an idiom or something, or like a saying.
Yeah.
Like a stitch in time saves nine. If you see the poor translation of it, but you recognize what it was supposed to be, then you can put it in the right words.
Yeah.
So it was written, so the writing of this one, I think, was improved over previous issues. So I think that was a smart decision. It's actually something I wish other publishers would do, because it's a smart way to do it.
Is it highly noticeable, though, like in previous editions? Like you run across a sentence or something, and you're like, that's just weird, or it doesn't sound right.
It's been a while since I read them, but I don't remember it being that bad.
Okay.
In terms of the English itself and the translation itself was fine. Like it was translated well into English, but I could see where he's coming from, where you could make probably it flow better and make the ideas, you could word it more artistically, I guess, than just a straight translation. So obviously the art in this is absolutely beautiful. The artist is, what's his name? Juanjo Guardino from Spain, and he is awesome. And actually says in his biography in the back, he actually worked for Disney France, their French division on a bunch of Disney movies. So that's where his background is. And you can see it in his art. He's kind of he has kind of like a Disney type style. But beautiful watercolors, I mean, that's really the standout of any of these Black Sad books is the unbelievable art. So this story, it takes place in America. It starts in, where does it start out in? I can't remember. Somewhere in the South where Black Sad ends up getting he's kind of down in his luck from the previous book, and he meets up with this rich guy and gets hired to drive his car from wherever they are back to, let's see, where to Tulsa. Yeah, drive it back to Tulsa. So he's driving the car to Tulsa, and it's like a, I don't know, some old car. I should probably recognize, I'm not a car guy, so I don't recognize what kind of car it is. But this whole thing takes place in the 50s, so it's a nice 50s car. So he's driving it back, and he ends up, he ends up getting the car gets stolen by these two writers. One is a poet and one's like a novelist, and they end up stealing this car because they, well, I can't remember how they ended up, oh, their car broke down, so they stole Blacksad's car, and then he chases them, and they end up at this and bad stuff goes down, and then they end up at this circus. So a lot of the story is at this circus where the artist guy, it kind of follows the, not the artist, the writer guy, the novelist, and he gets a job at this circus, and he meets this girl at the circus, and it turns out the girl has like a background, and then Blacksad eventually catches up with them, and then the FBI is chasing Blacksad. All in all, it was a very interesting story. I liked it, and the art is wonderful, so recommended as always. At least pick it up and flip through it, because you'll definitely enjoy the art in it. So, and I'm glad that Dark Horse is continuing to publish these.
Maybe they'll hire you as the interpreter next time.
Yes.
You can tell us what it's really about.
I could put in some secret code words.
Harley, what are you doing? What are you eating? She was eating something out there. I hope it was snow.
Out in the snow.
You there?
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
What happened?
I had to mute to cough.
Oh. How polite. So what do I have next? Oh, I had read The Humans because you had talked about it.
Yes, The Humans.
Keenan Marshall Keller and Tom.
I haven't read number one yet. I haven't got it yet. I read number zero though. So you didn't like it?
I did not. I mean, I had no problem with it. Like it's a story about motorcycle apes. Mm-hmm. And them losing somebody, and it's like a motorcycle gang type comic book. Mm-hmm. The art is good. Like, I think the art's really good. Like, the artist does a good job of drawing a lot of dick. I could see why you like it.
I don't think there's any dick in the zero issue.
Well, you'll be happy to know that there's dick.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Number one. But,
They must have, apparently they got my email.
I thought it was good. I just didn't think there was a lot of substance there. Like,
okay, so there wasn't a lot in it.
There wasn't a lot of story. Like, the art was good, but it's not a book like Dark Engine. To me, doesn't have a lot of story substance, but that art, like, I like a lot. So I'll like go out of my way to get that, read a story that's it's okay, but I really like the art. And this one, the art is really good, but it's not something that says, hey, I have to go buy it. But I guess it continues off from where their Kickstarter led off or left off.
Okay.
And was it a Kickstarter? Where'd you get zero from?
It was just on their website.
Oh. I thought you had told me it was a Kickstarter.
No, it was just a self-published. They self-published the zero issue. Probably sent it to Image to try and get picked up.
Well, I don't know if it continues, but if it does, one of their members die in the issue zero? Do you remember?
I don't remember. Maybe. I read a lot of junk.
I read a lot of stuff. I don't remember.
I can't keep up with all these comics.
So I'll be curious to see if you still enjoy it as much.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. I'm sure I will, but I don't know. I thought there was enough in the first issue, or the zero issue, rather. Okay, I read something else, another collection. This is an interesting one because no one's ever heard of it before. It's called The Martian Confederacy, Volume 1. By Jason McNamara and Paige Braddock. And this was published by Girl Twirl Comics. And it came out in 2008. Geek Brunch Retrocast. This is a... So this is... I think it's basically self-published. It's a trade, like a digest-sized trade. It is about... It takes place...
You really like those animal-morphic characters, don't you? Like, you're really into it.
If you have a talking animal, then I love it. So this takes place on Mars in the future, where... They give the history, but I don't remember it exactly. It was something like people ended up going to Mars and then something happened on Earth so they couldn't go back. And now this is many years in the future.
You there?
Yeah. Why, did I disconnect?
No. I got silent there for a second. I heard a beep.
Oh. That means someone's listening in, apparently.
Maybe I hit a button on my mic and it beeped. I don't know.
That could be.
Continue.
Right, okay. I was kind of looking in the book to see where
where what it's about.
Yeah.
I'm reading this live to you.
That's right. Here's a live
hard
read.
To do this off the cuff, but I'm going to tell you what this whole trade is about.
So it takes place in the year 3535. It says, stripped of its natural resources and forgotten as a vacation destination, Martians struggle to afford breathable air. So that's kind of the premise. I think I remember now. So there, humans went to Mars to get something out of the core of Mars, whatever natural resource we were getting from the core of Mars, and they got all the natural resources out and then kind of abandoned it. But there's still people living there because this is their home. So it's about... And it takes place in the far future where the animals that were on the planet have also evolved. So there's now talking animals as well as people on this planet. And the main character in this is a dude who is kind of like a bounty hunter kind of guy. He goes on different jobs. He's a bounty hunter slash thief because a lot of times he gets a job to go. He basically gets jobs where someone is looking for a certain item, usually stuff from old Earth that will remind them of Earth, and he goes and tries to find it and then steals it from whoever has that item and then sells it for a profit. So it's about him and this. His friend is this bear. It was a human talking bear, and there's and I gotta drink some water. And his friend is this woman who's a cyborg, and they get wrapped up in this adventure on this planet where they're trying to. Well, at first he's trying to steal this one object, but then he finds out there's a conspiracy because their friend who was an inventor has figured out, I guess in the beginning it kind of opens with him, he figured out a way to create this grass that produces oxygen with the intent to put it out on the planet so that everyone can breathe, but he gets stopped and killed by the company that sells these breathing apparatuses, these oxygen tanks, because they obviously have the market on the oxygen on the planet and they don't want it to become free. So he gets wrapped up in this adventure where they're trying to chase him and they're trying to find a couple of the samples. They burn down the scientists' samples of this grass, but there's some that someone has and they don't know who has it, so they're trying to find it. So I liked it. It was good. The art's good. It's interesting because it's black and white and red, because I guess it's since it's Mars, everything's red. And there's a couple of interesting characters, like there's land sharks that have legs and run around. So those are cool land shark creatures. The one thing I didn't like about it is this is volume one, but it doesn't tell a complete story. It just kind of like ends on one page and then without a conclusion. So
you have to get volume two.
Yeah, you have to get volume two to know where it goes. Like literally there's like, you want to turn the page and see what happens next, but there's no more pages. So I thought that was kind of weird. I prefer it when they wrap up the story they're telling.
Or at least give you some sense that like a cliffhanger or something, like go like a good ending to make you want to come back for the next one.
Right. But you got to kind of conclude something and then kick off something new.
Maybe in a trade, yeah, but not in a monthly.
A monthly you can do, yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, monthly can't really wrap up. Well, it can wrap up something, but. So I liked it, but I didn't like how it left me hanging. But it was good. I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, I got one, and I don't know if you've read it. And it's from a publisher called Cryptozoic Entertainment. And it's You Holies Wool. And this is an interesting story. I have actually all six of the issues. The reason I bought it.
What was the title?
You Holies Wool, like W-O-O-L. And what this is this is a comic book adaptation of a series of science fiction novellas that were developed directly for Amazon Kindle. And it immediately got so much interest in it that they sold the film rights to 20th Century Fox and Lionsgate, or at least they expressed interest to buy this property. So the guy who wrote it, Yu Holies, he signed a print-only deal for about $500K with Simon & Schuster, and then he's making all his money off of the – $500K is a good chunk of money. I mean, it might not be good for whatever, but it's becoming popular on the e-books. So it's got 9 volumes. Well, this particular company – decided to do an adaptation, a comic book adaptation of one of the volumes.
Mm-hmm.
So book one, book two, it looks like we're entering in this comic book in book three, and it's titled Casting Off. But there's prior to that, and you kind of get a sense that a lot of stuff happened before this.
Oh, really? I didn't know they started on started on the third book?
Yeah. And I think it's because they figured they could tell a lot of the backstory through where they were now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they do a good job of it. Like I didn't read the novellas, but I like this book so much that I did a little research. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is interesting. And where did it come from? And that's what I found out it came from. It came from these post-apocalyptic novellas about – they're titled, I believe, Silo, okay? And this comic is typed Wool. But what this is it's a people that live in a silo in a post-apocalyptic world, and they can't leave. And if they try to leave – and most of this post-apocalyptic silo is underground, like it's far underground, and there's different levels. Like the mechanical part is really far underground, and then the IT is like the next level. And then as you go up the level, it starts to look more and more like a place, like more and more atmospheric, or like a place you could live in. But as you go deeper in, it's not. It's machines and gadgets to falsify this environment and keep the oxygen and water flowing, and so people can actually live in this silo. And the scene opens up with this sheriff, and he's investigating something, and his wife comes and she says, "Everything we know about what's being seen on the outside is false. I believe that we could walk out there today," and she's telling him in confidence and stuff. But the one part I don't understand about this is they send out these cleaners, and I think it's like to punish them, is they put these suits on them, and they're like, go try to find out what's in this post-apocalyptic world. And mm-hmm. they send her out as a cleaner, and what you see on the vid screen is that she dies immediately. But later on, 3 years later, the sheriff is wondering if his wife is alive, so or if the images are... not quite right. Harley's gonna start barking because Barb just got here, so she'll start yelling here any second. But he goes out there and decides to go out there. So the sheriff is responsible for all the law within the silo, and he goes out there and he dies immediately. At least you see him fall there. So the mayor and the deputy go into the depths of the mechanical part of the silo, and they say, we have to hire a detective, a new sheriff. And they find one that they want, and she's really technically inclined, and she's a great engineer, but they want her to be a sheriff. And so that's how it sets it up. And then the IT department is like really jacked up. They're like fucked up. They got some secrets going on, because the mayor gets in a big fight with the IT department, because she's like, I've already hired a sheriff. And she's like, you can't do that. You don't have the authority to do that. And she goes and hires her own sheriff, and then she ends up dead, and then the deputy ends up dead, and then this poor girl, who's now the sheriff who accepted the job, is trying to find out stuff. And she's finding out a lot of the clues about the silo and how corrupt it is. And that sheriff, I mean, the IT guy gets her arrested because now he's the mayor. And it gets really fucked up. And they send her out in the silo in the suit. She finds out that the suits that they're building are not even compatible for the atmosphere. In other words, it's no wonder that these people are dying, because the fabric that they're using won't survive out there. So she ends up going to another silo, and I don't know where it continues, because I got to issue 4, and issue 6, I mean 5 and 6 are out, but I haven't read them yet.
Okay. Yeah, I remember seeing that in previews, but I never... I didn't pick it up, but I usually don't pick up the book adaptation ones.
I only did because it was Palmiotti in gray, and it was post-apocalyptic, so...
Yeah, if I paid more attention, I probably would have picked it up just for those two reasons. Must have been an expensive month for me. So you like it?
I like it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
I don't think it's people are finding it in comic book format, but I think it's a good thing to do, especially if you're going to the films and you're going to adapt it to so you could show a director, some guy with money, what this kind of look like, you know.
Yeah.
This is the mood of what this looks like. This is what we're shooting for. Here's the panel layouts. Do you want to make a movie about it? So I think it was really interesting. It seems to be very successful as a novella, so we'll see where it goes. And I'll probably finish issues 5 and 6 today, and I'll know if they end on a conclusion or if it plans on continuing. But she finds another guy in the other silo, which is very interesting because that silo is, it looks like the Walking Dead have taken over that silo. They're all dead. So there's no zombies or anything, but everybody, when she got to that new silo, all she saw was a bunch of dead bodies like piled outside of the silo. And then she gets in the silo and she sees that water's running and that there's tomatoes, and she finds this really old guy, and I guess he's been there for like 37 years. And his father said to hide anytime he saw anything. And he's been living there just fine. And she gets a hold of the guy on IT on one of these radios, because she finds this map and there's a whole bunch of silos. And they all tap into these like radios, and she calls the other silo that she came from. And she's like, "Hey, dude, I'm coming after you." And supposedly that guy said there's these diggers that are underneath the mechanical part of the building, and they're like vehicles that could actually dig from silo to silo, but they didn't want anybody to know about it because they thought there would be uprisings between the silos.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
So you're going to track down the novels?
Oh, hell no. If you thought I would, you don't know me.
I know. That's I almost did get the question out without laughing. Yeah, it sounds interesting. I might have to pick up the trade. But I think it is out. Is it out in trade?
I think the trade was solicited. I don't know if the trade is out. Yeah. It was a weird series because they solicited really weird. There was like 1 month where two issues came out, or maybe it was two months. And if you weren't careful and looking for it, you might have just got one.
Just got one of the two. Yeah, that's weird. But I mean, who published it? Did you say Cryptozoic?
Cryptozoic, yeah.
Have they done anything else, or did they just do?
I've never seen anything else. No. In the Wikipedia entry, it says in July 2013, it was announced that Amazon's new comic book imprint, Jet City Comics, would be releasing the adaptation. And maybe they did as digital, Amazon did, and then this Cryptozoic did the print version. I don't know.
It looks like the trade came out in August. Yeah, from Jet City Comics.
Yeah, but it didn't come from Cryptozoic, so...
Yeah, weird. So there's two companies that published it?
I have no idea. It's confusing.
Maybe they're rushing to get the single issues out before the trade came out.
Well, the number four just came out. So this Jet City Comics, I don't know what its relationship is with...
Cryptozoic.
Yeah.
Well, if people are interested in seeing it, it looks like on Amazon they have a long preview for it, so you could check it out.
See, I think it was going to be known as Jet City Comics, and that fell through, and it became Cryptozoic for whatever reason. That's what I think, based on what I could see online. But
Amazon is selling this book. It says it has Jet City.
It says Jet City on it. I don't understand how you could buy it before the individual issues, but...
Yeah, something wacky.
Because this doesn't have Jet City on it at all. It says Cryptozoic.
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like they sold the rights to two different publishers, one to bring out the single issues...
But it's
one
the same creative team, though. That's what's weird.
Yeah. And then they ended up bringing out the trade before the single issues had finished coming out. Which it was probably a thing where the single issues got delayed or something, so they weren't able to bring them out in time. So they ended up releasing the trade before the
individual issues came out. I like when they don't solicit trades. I like that.
At all?
Yeah, I like when they do like all in single issues, and then they promise a trade, and then it never comes out. So if you really like it, you miss
it. If you're waiting for it, yeah.
Issues, yeah.
Son of a bitch. I do get a few things in single issues. A few. I got one more. Well, I guess I got two more. No. Well,
I got 10 more.
Did you read this? Sabrina, number one.
I did not read it.
From Archie Comics. Do you have it?
I do.
Yeah. So this is one of Archie's new horror line, rated teen plus, violent immature content. So apparently Archie, I guess due to the success of Afterlife with Archie, has decided to bring out horror books.
Re-envision their characters in horror situations, I guess. Because Sabrina has had her other series. They're just putting them in a more serious context, I guess.
Right, yeah, because, yeah, they're using their Archie characters, but in horror stories. Which Sabrina works as a horror story because she's a witch anyway, so she was always dealt with the supernatural, but on a more humorous angle before. But this is going at it from a purely horror point of view. So this is written by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa with artwork by Robert Hack. Now the artwork is very interesting because it's like I don't know, I can't even describe it. It's I don't know. It's kind of a more like a like the drawings itself are almost, they almost look like pencil work. And then the color scheme used is very interesting. I think it was Robert Hack who did the coloring as well, but it's very the whole thing's almost like autumn toned, where it's kind of like all orangish and brown colors, and it's very fitting for the story, and it's very unique in terms of the style they used. So this starts back in 1951 with the birth of Sabrina, who is the daughter of a male witch, so I guess a warlock, and a human woman. Now, this, of course, infuriates the witch community because witches are not supposed to interact with humans on this level, especially. So you're not supposed to marry or have relationships with humans. So having a child with a human is a big no-no. So the parents are both punished for this, and Sabrina ends up living with her, I don't know if it's her aunts or just other witches in the coven. But she's raised, and they start raising her in her regular where she was born, in the town she was born. But once she starts school, they decide to move because everyone knows that she's like a half breed, and they know she'll get teased in her witch's school. So they decide to move, and I think they move to where does Archie from? Riverdale?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they moved to, I don't know if they specifically say it or not, but I think they moved to Riverdale. Where, and then, so her, and her cousin, I think it was her cousin, someone in her family, a witch from, like, England comes over, this dude. And then this kind of shows her starting her school. And I think it shows two characters which are like Betty and Veronica, I think, but I'm not sure. Like near the end, but it's very
Sabrina did show up in the other one.
She kicked off the afterlife, right?
Yeah, she's one. The one that brought the dog back to life.
Yeah. And then there's something weird. And then at the end of it, there's something weird which I don't really understand, where some woman is raised from the dead or something. But it was good. It was very interesting and dark. And then at the end, they have, like, in the back matter is like reprinting like the first ever story of, I think it's the first ever story of Sabrina.
I like that because in the Afterlife with Archie, they published a lot of Golden Age horror stuff that came from Archie.
Okay, so
yeah,
showing where they're where they came from and where they're going back to. Yeah, this is, so it says that her first appearance in Archie's Madhouse issue 22 from 1962. So it kind of shows the difference between what there was back then and where they're going now with it. But it was good, and it was long too. It was a pretty long issue, so.
Very,
it's
cool.
Good. Very interesting, Archie going back to the horror. So it'd be interesting to see if they what else they bring out.
Cool. I have one more.
Yes.
You said you might have one more too. But I guess I'm covering a couple of indies and one DC and one Marvel. So I'm covering the whole scope just like you said we would. So I got Superior Iron Man written by Tom Taylor, who came over from DC. He's doing that video game adaption, that Elseworlds stuff, which is really, really cool. He's also done Earth 2, and now he's doing Superior Iron Man for Marvel Comics. This comes hot off the heels of the Access event, which I didn't read. So it gives you a little bit to try to follow the story, but not a lot. So I asked people on Facebook, I was like, how did he become such a dick? Like, so I guess in Access, in order to defeat the Red Skull, there's a handful of heroes that interchanged their personalities, or they got these weird, whatever happened, their personalities changed because they were around the Red Skull and they defeated him. And Iron Man was one of them. So he appears really different in this. Like, he's flying around with Extremis 3.0, and he's runs into the She-Hulk, and they defeat an abomination. It's actually called Teen Abomination. They defeat him, and Tony gets really violent, like almost to kill him. Like, and She-Hulk is like, Tony, what's the matter with you? What the hell's going on? Well, this Teen Abomination actually takes off his head at one point, and Iron Man just picks up his head and blasts Team Abomination. And she's like, why did you have to hit him so hard? He's just a kid, Tony. And he goes, you know, he's being a real dick and stuff. And he's not even physically there. Like, his armor's doing all the job, and he's basically in a pool just commanding the armor as he's flirting with some girl. And Pepper Potts lays onto him later on, like, why are you being so different? What's wrong with you? And he shows his new armor, and Pepper knows something's wrong with him, but you don't never know. And then you see this weird he's essentially given Extremis 3.0, like, to a bunch of people, and he treats it like a drug, like, if you want more, you could be a perfect. In other words, it makes them perfect, and it's kind of like that movie you hated, The Purge, because they become like perfect people, and they go after the people that aren't perfect, that don't have extremists in them, and it looks like they try to kill them. But in this case, Daredevil saved one of the homeless ladies before they could kill her, and the extremists wears off on these people that have perfect bodies. It's almost like a Flesh for Frankenstein. They have perfect bodies.
It's all coming together.
The drug wears off, or whatever Extremis is. And on their phones, it says, do you want to renew? Your free trial period is over. $99. And Pepper picks this up, and she's like, Tony, what the hell's wrong with you? So it's an interesting story, and she's talking to some guy at the end, and you don't know who it is, but it looks like it might be Daredevil, but it's Iron Man. It's somebody in the old Iron Man suit, not the gray Iron Man, like going that far back, but where he had that armor that had the horns on, like the little tips at the edge of the armor, so it looked like his mask extended beyond the armor. It wasn't circular, so she's talking to whoever's in that armor. She's saying, we need to activate the contingency. His mind has been taken. And this armor, whoever's in it, says, understood. It's okay, Pepper. this is what we plan for. So it's like they if Tony ever lost his marbles,
they had a backup plan.
Pepper and Tony and whoever had a backup plan. And we don't know who's in the armor now, the older armor, but I'm sure we'll find out next issue. But it was good. I liked it, and I'll probably continue. And I don't get much Marvel, but I liked it enough to want to know what the hell's happening. And the art is by Sinar, and I like his art a lot.
Mm-hmm.
His art is really good. Yildiri Sinar. So, yeah, it's good stuff. You got any more?
No, I think that's it for me.
Okay. I'm not going to go into the details of it, but I did find a Justin Jordan book that I did like. I read Avatar's Dark Gods, okay. Number one. The artist is German Aramospi, and I've really liked his art, so he already had me at the art. But this seems like it's a business corporation that is like into Cthulhu magic and shit that take their employees eventually to the basement and sacrifice their employees to these like serpent gods. And this guy uncovers it. He's actually working for like some other agency, and he uncovers this conspiracy. And lives through it, and somebody saves his life as he's about to be killed. So that's a quick synopsis. There's a lot more there, but I really enjoyed it. Dark Gods.
Yeah, I read it. I liked it. I didn't like it as much as that other Gods book, the Hickman one, the Costa one. What was that one called?
God, I can't remember. But I read it, too. It's got those weird covers with symbols on them. It's probably in the back of this book because they have advertisements for God is Dead.
Yeah.
So I get most of the Avatar stuff. All right, Bill. How do they get a hold of you for the parental device DVDs?
Oh, you can you can order those through my email address, which is bill@comicbooknoise.com. Or you could submit a request on Facebook if you go to Geek Brunch Podcast. You can just post it right there or send me a quick direct message.
And he'll sell that to you.
Yeah, 1995.
How about on Twitters? How would they get a hold of you on Twitter?
They get hold of me on Twitters at DBM00. And you can get hold of Mike at Mike Myers Brunch.
Yes. And if it's involving the zombie movie, then you could get a hold of both of us on Twitters because I have some right. And so does Micah. Micah is also there at @do_what. And he's got some right to that movie that's being worked by Bill.
He gave up his rights when he left the country.
Are you sure?
I think that's how the law works. Pretty sure. If you step foot outside of the country, then you give up all rights to anything you once had.
Now, see, I own partial rights to this new film and also the Asylum in Space with the Laurel and Hardy thing. But I don't own any of the rights to Young Gods. That's all you.
Interesting.
So leave an iTunes review. You could go find us on iTunes and you go to Geek Brunch and click on that link. And there's a place where you can write up some review and make us happy. And click, give us a 5-star rating.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
My children, what do you want, child? Growling at me. My kids want to play. We got this board game yesterday from Half Price Books. Because they had a 40% off coupon. It's Lego Time Cruisers, I think it's called.
Oh, wow.
They want to play it.
Well, Does it require internet?
No, it's a board game from 1997. I know most of you probably weren't alive in 1997.
Yeah, I think everybody was alive that listens to this show.
Oh, okay. All you youngsters probably barely remember 1997. That's when we had the internet, but it was a young little baby internet. No, do we have the internet full force then?
We had the, I don't know. I don't know if it was AOL back then. I don't remember. Seems like we've always had it. I'm getting spoiled now.
I don't remember the time before it. Yeah, I think we had the internet in 97. But that was still, that was early though, still. I don't remember when we first got it. 95 or so?
Maybe. I don't even want to Google it at this point.
So I'm going to go play a Lego board game.
Because they got the keyword right when they listened to last episode.
That's right. They found the Lego keyword. So.
And they got the reward.
They got the reward, the board game, yep.
Great, great parental advice from our expert, Bill Bulmer. At DBM00, make sure if you're a parent and you're struggling to control your kid that you contact Bill because he's got his videotapes.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Bye.
You too.
Lick it up!